send you back to school tomorrow. You poor people. Who's back to school Tuesday? I think that's all the most good old people, the same people. I guess for all of us, even if we're not schooling our teachers, there's that sense of you're not back to school, you're not back to school. Wednesday, sorry. That's the question. We're getting back to normal. Even if we haven't been off at school, there's that sense of which kind of the seventh or summer, whatever it was, is kind of over. Sort of getting cold, we have to be tested by two. Back to normal, getting into the pattern of life again. For us in the church, we've been going through a sermon series for us going back to our strap line, Healthy Church, We Grow Because. I wonder if you've picked up the theme of the sermon this morning of what we might be exploring about church. We'll see. Children, I've got a little word association for you. Are you all listening? What I want you to do is I want you to think of the first thing, that picture that comes into your mind when I say the word, okay? So children, the word is a very exciting word. It's McDonald's. First thought. What do you think? You I love that. What do you think? A gold egg, yeah. You've got me sick. Is there a story you want to tell me? Yeah. Chips and eggs. Right, okay. So again, first reaction. The word this time is church. First reaction. Anna, if I say the word church, first of all, what do you think? God, okay, go to the back of him. What do you think of? Alright, okay, what do you think of it? Good, love it. Good, good. I wonder what you thought. I think for many people, probably the first image is some kind of tower. It's a building, it's something, isn't it? But as we're going to explore this morning, church is so much more than that. The church is a body, it's a community. The reason we got you all to mix up and to ask things to each other, get to know each other, is because that's what's supposed to be, it's supposed to be a community effect. Church is about an hour and a half on a Sunday, the job done, tick the box. Thank you very much. It's about the living and breathing community where we share life on earth. That's what we heard in our Bible reading, wasn't it? We're going to explore that. And it can be easy, can't it, to just get into that kind of thing where there are certain people we know. Or to get into that way of thinking where we're kind of like, well, we know quite a lot of people, so many people, we don't need to bother with church. But if we've heard in our Bible reading, church is so much more. And who's in the centre of that? God, Jesus. It's not just a club. It's not just a friendly get-together. It's a gathering around Jesus, a gathering around Christ. So in fact, it's possible to have a Bible reading that. Can we chop and change between the PowerPoint and the Bible? That may be a yes, that may be a no. That's a no currently. Let me read the first verse to you. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. What I want us to do is we're going to pull out four themes from our reading. First one. Hands up, children, who can tell me the name of their old teacher? Old teacher, that's it, doesn't it? You spend the whole time away going, Mr. Jones, Mrs. Jones, trying to get your teacher. Your old teacher. Mrs. Hart, and your new teacher? Paul teaching?
Miss Manley.
Miss Manley, you teaching? Ah, good one. Yeah, I'm here. Miss Nita was teaching, you teaching?
Miss Greg.
Miss Greg. Miss Greg. Practice that. Yeah? Miss McGee was your teacher? And your new teacher is? Mrs. Levin. Yes, check that out. Old teacher?
Miss
Vaughan. Miss Vaughan, new teacher? Miss Stanley. Okay. Let's do your last one here. Yeah, old teacher? Okay, new teacher? Mrs. Scatterwood. Old teacher? Mr. Carpenter? Mr. Carpenter, what are you talking to? New teacher? Miss Gilbert, okay. So you've all got new teachers. Who's the teacher in church? It's Jesus, isn't it? I'm getting my new teacher and old teacher. Jesus is always the teacher. As we heard in our Bible reading today, he's going to himself. The apostles teach you to learning all about Jesus, reading the Bible together. Later in verse 46, again, it wasn't just a Sunday thing. They didn't just come along for the sermon, so this is a bit over 15 minutes, okay? Job done. It says daily they met together to read the Bible to learn more about Jesus. Now, how many of you read the Bible daily? Put your hand up, I'm joking. Okay, very good. It's hard, isn't it? It's tricky. How many of us can come to church every day? Some of you can bunk off school, but that's not allowed. Some of you can bunk off work, but that's not allowed. That's hard, that's tricky. But there are ways that we can do what the early church did in our lives in terms of reading the Bible. For young people, there are great things. These are things that will come on the website. You can Google them. Simple ones. Tops. It's something you can do with your mum and dad at breakfast time. For older ones, there's Discover and Engage. Diary of a Disciple is a book that Abigail is reading. She really loves the Jesus Storybook Bible. It's a really great children's Bible. It's under five. Same as the Human Bible. For little ones, for 3 and 4 year olds, there's a safe library that parents can do, or when you touch them in bed called Pens. There's apps. Scripture uses maps. Have any of you played Guardian of Ancora?
Yes.
When you get home, if you're under 50, no, forget it, under 70, it's a children's game, but anyone can play it. It's a great Bible app where you go on adventures, discovering more about God's Word. It's actually quite difficult according to Carl, so there you go. Have a look at it when you get home. As a church, at the start of the year, we encourage you to think about Bible in 1 year. I love that. It's really helpful because I don't need to work. But the great thing is, you can have it on your phone, you can just listen to it. So if you're in your car, or if you're on the train, or you go for a run, or whatever you do, you can just put it on your phone, and you can listen to it. You don't have to read it. You can listen to the same thing. Right, there are loads of great apps out there. Oh, there we go. So there's an encouragement for us. Healthy churches, we make sure that Jesus is our teacher. And we make sure that we get to God's word and there are things that can help us with. So, number one, healthy churches, they devote themselves to the apostle teaching. Second one, they devoted themselves to fellowship. Earlier, when we were asking the question, we learned things about each other. It's going to be a lot easier for me now to talk to the person I talk to, yes, I know that they're a fellow lover of mine. I know that one of them is in the cadet force. I know their names. I've never spoken to them before, and that would make it quite tricky to talk to them. We've broken the ice. We now know that we're going to each other. Next Sunday, we can talk, we can chat, we can share. It's that simple. You make church, they talk together, they live in each other's pockets, they are in and out of each other's homes, they care about each other. Again, can you hear that thing? It's not Sunday morning. It's not we have done an hour, I smile at some people, job done. It's about deep caring, about sharing life, about knowing what's going on in each other's lives. It's about loving each other. Again, practically, what does that look like? Going out with someone for a coffee. You know, it's back in church. It's about going for a walk. Going to the park, going on an adventure, playing sports together. You can be on WhatsApp. You can be playing. You can be praying. You can be Messenger. You can be Facebook. You can do a Bible study like that. You can just be looking at this church. What do you think? It's about fellowship, about deep belonging, about being a community, being a body. Not just an hour on Sunday. So we've got, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devote themselves to deep fellowship. Next one, this is challenging. We move on to the next slide. All believers were together and held everything in common. Right, again, question for the children. I want you to think carefully. You can't say mum and dad. You might have the right answer. It's a bit creepy. What is your most precious possession? What is your most precious possession? Let's go of it. You can't choose much. Okay, Lydia, what is your most precious possession? Too hard to choose. Right, let's try the voice. Henry, Charlie, what's your most precious possession? Like, being each other. Being chickens. Okay. I've got you. Yes, okay, so and what's your name? Your brother. Yeah. It's okay. Oh, in the second one, actually, the next question, the right answer. Yeah. Your chicken set. There's been a theme going on. Okay, grown up, same question to you. What is your most precious possession? And you're not allowed to tell you why, for the record, I've said that. Most precious possession. Have you got it in mind? In the early church, they sold their most precious possession to take care of one another, to help one another out. That was what their fellowship was like. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who has need. Again, that's not just popping into church on a Sunday singing a few songs and popping out of it. That's really deep fellowship. That's a commitment to one another. And again, that's what we're called to do. We're called to pray for one another, to know what one another is struggling with, to help one another, to challenge one another, to encourage one another, to support one another. I bet they made that for each other. I bet they did childcare. I bet they cut each other's lawns. I bet they dropped meals around when someone was sick. I bet they knew who was struggling. I bet they knew who was ill. So healthy churches devote themselves to the apostles' teaching, devote themselves to deep fellowship. They hold everything in common. Next one. Luke tells us they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Once a month we have communion, don't we? Share the bread and wine. What's so special about bread and wine? I'm going to ask some of our recent confirmation candidates to tell us what the bread and the wine is about. So no pressure. On this bread, guys, what's the bread and the wine about in church? Brilliant. Okay. The wine represents Jesus' blood. The bread represents Jesus' body. It reminds us of the most important thing. That Jesus died and rose again for us. And then put that at the centre of the church. They're constantly remembered that Jesus loved them so much that that he has died, rising and coming, so they can be known, so they can know new life, so they can know forgiveness, so they can know fulfillment, so they can know freedom. And again, I wasn't just in the church on Sunday. It says what they did in that moment. So again, they didn't just remember Jesus for an hour and a half on Sunday. They remembered Jesus through their lives. Each day they remembered that Jesus loved them so much that he died and rose again for them. So they devoted themselves to the reading of the Bible, to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to committed to fellowship. They devoted themselves to remembering how important Jesus was and how much he loved him. And then there's one last one. What is it? It's prayer. I'm going to just ask for a volunteer. Excellent. He can let you find me. Can you come forward?
Woo! Just get your own shit.
Yeah.
I know we don't want to laugh, and in fact I'm the shorter one. And the younger one.
I've got all the good genes,
but it's alright.
So, you can see, this is my long-suffering sister. I'm 3 years older. Probably then 3 millimeters taller. Never mind. If we don't talk, what do you say about relationships? Yeah, we're still brother and sister, nothing can change our friendship. I love it. We're stuck learning. But if we don't talk, if we don't communicate, the same with God. The same with God. So we go to ourselves in prayer. Because without talking to God, without communicating with Him, without sharing with Him, what is it? And it shouldn't just be that on their own. It's a big part of the family. What would our family be like if Kevin and I only talked to each other? If we ignored anybody else, we just involved them in our communication. Again, it would be weird. Thank you very much. The same thing is it. It says in our reading that as a church they got together to pray. Because we're family. It's odd if it's just me and God and we ignore everyone else. That's weird. We're a family of faith. And they knew the importance of getting together and talking to God and praying. So four things. Healthy churches make sure the Bible is really important. They make sure that they really care deeply for one another. They remember that Jesus loved them, he died and rose again, and they pray together. My final question is, what happens when the church does that? And the Lord adds to their number, saying those who are being saved. That's how it works. If you get back a couple of verses, it says they saw miracles and signs. Because when we do what we're meant to do, God blesses them. If we live as the people we're meant to be, God looks at us and goes, I love these guys. They're on the right track. I'm going to send other people to join their family. I'm going to bless them and use them. Healthy churches grow, that's what we've been thinking about. So my encouragement to us is to think through those four questions. How could you do that connect you to the members of the church family? Can you lead people? Can you know certain people really well and be not so good at welcoming people? How could we put together to pray with us? How could you do finding some way the Bible to involve in your life. How good are you remembering that Jesus loves us so much to be dying for you? Not to beat ourselves up, but to look at this in general. I want to be more like this. I I want our church in Florence to be growing because people think, wow, I want to be part of that. Wow, I want to grow up in Asia. I want to be in a place of belonging and fellowship that is lying around. Those people are special. I can see Jesus in them. That's what God would like for us. Let me pray for us. And then we're going to talk to you. Lord Jesus, we want to be a healthy relationship. And I pray that you would fill us with your love. Love to you and love for one another. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord God, will you guide us?